Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. So have you ever seen something on TV and you thought to yourself, man, I could never do that? Have you ever had that experience? Yeah, I have. I remember watching, it was a couple of years ago, Nick Wallenda. You remember Nick Wallenda? And I think he walked across the Niagara Falls. Do you remember that? And he walked across and I thought, I could never do that. And there's no way I could do that. I'd fall right off. Or this week, I was watching the news and I saw this little girl who had her leg stuck inside of an alligator's mouth. And she was able to use her two fingers to poke the nostrils and get her leg out. And I thought, I could never do that. I'd be screaming like a girl. I can't do that. And I thought of a sport. I tried to put a sports analogy in here for you guys, but I'm really not a sports guy. So maybe you've seen something in sports and you think, man, I could never do that. And then I got to thinking, you know what? It's Mother's Day and they have to give birth to children. I could never do that for more than one reason. Could never do that. And then there's Jesus today. And maybe you're a follower of Jesus. In his interaction with his disciples today, Jesus shows the power of faith in the world and in our lives. In our interaction with our disciples today, Jesus shows the power of faith in our world and in our lives. So here we have this wonderful gospel lesson, right? There's so much packed in there, and I thought, I'm going to preach everything that's packed in there, but I can't because it'll be an hour-long sermon, and it's Mother's Day, and you guys probably have reservations to eat, so I'm going to just get through this for you, okay? So here's Jesus, and he's talking to his disciples, and the first thing he does is he comes to his disciples, and he says, the gospel, the wonderful gospel message, listen, don't be afraid, and don't let your hearts ever be troubled. Well, why? Because I have risen from the dead. And more than that, because I am promising you right now that even though you will see me for a little while, I'm going to go on into heaven and I'm going to prepare a place for you to live. How awesome is that? That's the gospel message, because that's what forgiveness is all about. The forgiveness and salvation Jesus won for us assures us that when we die, we go to heaven and we have a place prepared for us. And I told you before, you can come to my mansion because it's going to be made of Reese's peanut butter cups. And you can eat it every day and you can't get fat on it and it'll regenerate. So you can come on over and visit anytime. But this is the reality of what Jesus says. How great is that? And he goes on to talk to his disciples about how much he loves them, how much he cares for them, and how much he is in the Father, and how much the Father loves them. The Father, because of Jesus, has lavished his love upon his people. You know, the people of the Old Testament, those who are outside of Christ, those who do not know Jesus, they are inside this wrath of God, and it's not a pleasant place to be. Inside the wrath of God, there's anger, there's terror, there's fear, there's doubt, there's hell. But inside the grace of God, because of Jesus Christ, that grace which belongs to you by virtue of baptism, because Jesus died on the cross, through the promise of the Lord's Supper, that grace falls upon you in your life, and you do not have to worry anymore about your salvation. And if you really think about it, everything else we worry about in this world, which is sinful, pales into comparison of our salvation because Jesus is taking care of it. And in essence, we have nothing to worry about at all. Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Be at peace. Live in me, and I will live in you. And the Father will be with us, and his love will lavish us, and we will have salvation. And then he talks, then Thomas, you know, Thomas says, Doubting Thomas, right? You remember Doubting Thomas? Doubting Thomas says, well, wait a minute, Jesus. We don't even know where you're going. So how in the world do we know the way? You know, you got to love Thomas. Pretty practical. You know, if I don't see Jesus, I don't put my finger in his nail marks, I'm not going to believe he's alive. And Jesus says to Doubting Thomas, probably one of the most famous scripture passages at all. You probably know it. Thomas, I am, what does he say? The way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Another proclamation of the gospel. Because of the faith that is given to us in the Holy Spirit, we know the way to heaven. Isn't that awesome? Think about it. We may not know the direct path to heaven, but we know the way to heaven. We know how to get there. It's through Jesus. And Jesus is the truth, right? No matter what happens in this world, and we get bombarded by fake news and by fake this and by fake this, and all these different religions and denominations out there who believe things that, my goodness, I don't know how they come up with some of these ideas. We even have sister Lutheran churches who are ordaining transsexuals these days. We know that Jesus is the truth in the midst of this. And his truth says that we love everyone, but Jesus is still the truth, and he is the life. He's the eternal life. No matter what happens, Jesus says, I give you life. And then Philip goes into this interaction about wanting to see the Father. And you saw that interaction. And Jesus says to him, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Then Jesus says this. Truly, truly, I say to you, all who have faith in me will do the works I have been doing, and even greater things they will do. Wait a minute! What in the world is Jesus saying? He says, all men who have faith in me will do the works I have been doing, and even greater things they will do. Now, that's impossible. Come on, I'm a sinner. I'm a human. I mess up all the time. I can't die on the cross. I can't forgive anybody their sins. What in the world are you talking about, Jesus? You died on the cross. You miraculously rose from the dead. These are the greatest works known to mankind. How in the world do you expect me, a little peon sinner, to do these great things and even greater things than that? Have you ever stopped to think about that? It's like watching that little girl with the alligator. I can't do that. Or thinking about a woman giving childbirth. I can't do that. But Jesus says, greater things than I have done, you will do. The answer to this is found in our epistle lesson from Peter today. And this is what Peter says in verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Now, what's interesting is if you look at the Greek, the first thing you'll notice is when Peter is writing this, he says, you are a chosen people. It's a singular word, meaning you have been chosen by God himself. You have been chosen by God through baptism. You have been chosen to be his child forever. You have been chosen to work for him in his kingdom. You are the chosen one. C.F.W. Walther, the founder of our synod, said that when we are baptized, we are consecrated, set apart, ordained, and commissioned to do the work of Jesus in our world. Each and every one of us. Consecrated, set apart, ordained, and commissioned. Ordained and commissioned to do the work that God has for us to do. And he's speaking about you, singular. Because that's what happened in baptism. Remember, we talk about this. In baptism, you become God's child. In baptism, he claims you forever. In baptism, he looks at you and says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Your sins are forgiven. You belong to me forever. That is the gift of baptism. And then he goes on to say, you are a royal people, a chosen priesthood. And he goes into a plural you. And you know what? The South is right, by the way. You know how you say y'all? The Greek says y'all are a chosen people. So if the Greek says it, it's got to be right. Y'all are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, to do the work of God. And what that means is by virtue of our baptism, we are brought together in this community of believers, into this fellowship of Christ, into this place we call Christ Lutheran Church, in worship, which is crucial, because in worship, here is where we're fed, nourished, strengthened, and forgiven to go out to do the work of the royal priesthood, the chosen people. It's through this fellowship where we gain strength. It's through this fellowship where we are nourished and fed and forgiven, where we can minister to each other, hold each other up, and love each other, and go out into God's kingdom to do the wonderful works of light so that people may come out of darkness and praise Jesus. Here's what we're called to do. Jesus says, greater things you will do. Jesus is ascending to heaven. Brothers and sisters in Christ, every time you love someone, every time you share Jesus with someone, every time you bring somebody to Christ, you are doing a greater work. You are growing the kingdom of heaven. We are called to love. We are called to love everyone. This is a hard concept for the Missouri Synod to understand. Because our doctrine is so strict, it's hard for us to understand that we are called to love the sinner. We are called to love the woman who got pregnant outside of marriage. We are called to love the homosexual, the transsexual, whatever, transgendered, whatever it is. We are called to love them with the love of Jesus no matter what. Why? Because it's that love that transforms the lives and hearts of people. The very same love that Jesus showed in the beginning of our message to those disciples is the very same love that transforms the lives of hearts of people. And if we are sharing that love, there is not transformation. But there is transformation as we share that love, because we are his hands, we are his mouth, and we are his feet in this world. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. First of all, God's love covers over a multitude of sins. It covers ours. But as we carry that love of Jesus forward in our world, it covers over sins in ways that we can't even think or imagine. It covers over sins as people come to know Jesus. It covers over even blasphemy, the unforgivable sin, as a person who does not believe, as a person who rejects the Spirit, comes to faith and knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Martin Luther has a brilliant quote, and this is the quote from Martin Luther. The very best of all works is that the heathen have been led from idolatry to the knowledge of God. The very best of all works is that the heathen have been led from idolatry to the knowledge of God. So Jesus says, the works I've done, you're going to do greater. Brothers and sisters, you are called to simply love the world around you. To love the broken, to love the hurting, to love the world. And in so doing, a greater work you will do as the kingdom of God grows and the kingdom of hell decreases. We will rejoice. In the name of Jesus, amen.